book of Psalms this morning. Not sure if I've got this turned on or not. The book of Psalms this morning. Y'all probably got there before I did, but the book of Psalms, chapter 27 this morning. Psalms chapter 27. Psalms 27. We'll read verse 11 through 14. 27, 11 through 14. And it says, starting in verse 11, "Unto thee will I cry," or "teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Now let's pray this morning. God, I thank you and I love you so much for all that you've done. Thank you for this day you've gave us, God, and allowing us to get here safely, Lord. Lord, I ask you, please touch and, Lord, you help, Lord, with each one that's here today. Lord, you know each need. Lord, you know each heart, God. Lord, I can try to guess, Lord, what they're going through, but God, you know the hearts of each one of them, God. And Lord, you know the answer to each one of their problems, God. Help them to realize, God, that no matter what they're going through, as long as they wait on you, God, you said that you shall renew their strength, God. And Lord, you shall, and they shall mount up as with wings as eagles, God. Lord, if we just wait on you, God. Lord, when we wait on you, it's worth it, God. It's worth the wait. And Lord, just help us just to realize that this morning. Help us to be encouraged this morning. Help us, Lord, just to keep on keeping on this morning. Help, Lord, and touch those that are about to give up, God. I don't know the need this morning. Those that have turned away from you, God, because they got tired of the waiting, God, help them to turn back and realize it's worth the wait. Lord, I thank you and I love you, Lord, for all that you've done, God. Just please go before me, God. Move me out of the way. And Lord, just speak to these people this morning, God. I thank you and I love you, Lord, for all that you've done. And amen. You all can be seated this morning. You see here, this is David speaking. He's saying, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." He's saying, "I've been going and I've been fighting for so long." You see, David, he was around 15 years old when he was anointed to be king. When Samuel came to anoint him, he came and he anointed him. He was in the field still. He was still a shepherd boy. He was coming, and his brothers thought they were coming for them, maybe, or coming for their father to be king. But no, he came and he saw the shepherd boy. Then Samuel came and he anointed him to be king. And it wasn't until 15 years later, they say around 30 years old, when he was finally made king of Israel. You see, David, he wrote most of the Psalms, and most of them are lamenting Psalms. He fought and he strived and he continued to fight. It was so many days before he finally became king. And many of us are here today, and maybe it seems like we've been waiting on something. Maybe it's peace or an unanswered prayer. There's something that we've just been fighting for, and it just seems like it may even feel like it's been 15 years, just as David. It may seem like you've just kept on fighting. There's no peace in your life. There's no joy in your life. It seems like there's no way that I can keep on fighting for the Lord. But you see, David, he kept on fighting, and he said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You see, he fought and he fought and he fought, but he lived it and he found out that, guess what? God is faithful. He is faithful to us when we wait on him. It says he will renew your strength. He will strengthen thine heart. He strengthened David's heart time and time again. He fought Saul. He fought the Philistines. He kept on fighting. It seems like his fighting days would never end. He finally had peace in Israel for a few years. But you see, it's only because that he waited on the Lord. You see, the one time that he tried not waiting on the Lord, he numbered the people because he was prideful and he was saying, my army's big, my army is strong. And guess what happened? God wiped half of them out because he wasn't waiting on the Lord anymore. He was trusting in his own good works. He was trusting in himself and in his army. But when we wait on the Lord, that's when he will strengthen our hearts, and that's when he will renew our strength within us. If you've been fighting and you've been struggling today, I'm telling you, you can come and you can have that peace. You can have that joy that you've been longing for. Keep on waiting on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. And if you will turn with me to Psalms chapter 13 this morning, Psalms chapter 13. And the first point this morning, cry out to God while you wait. Cry out to God while you wait. Many people, they think that being patient, what that means is you just sit there, you do nothing, and you don't pray, you just have full trust. You have so much trust that you don't even think you should talk to God about it. That's not what David did, and that's not what he instructs us to do. In Psalms 13, starting in verse 1, it says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But here's the next two verses. But I have rejoiced, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Praise the Lord for that. He was saying, how long wilt thou forget me? But then you see that he says, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Even though he felt like he was forgotten, he still trusted in God. He still waited on the Lord. You may even feel forgotten today. You may think, well, God's completely forgotten me. I'm a small person. I'm one out of 3 billion or however many people are in the world. But God knows everything. He knows everyone. And there's been times in my life, make no mistake, that he knew exactly where I was. He knew exactly what I needed. And he showed up for me as small as I am. I'm nothing special, but he still came and he showed up for me, and he could show up for you. I'm sure you have times in your life you've seen him do it before, and he can do it again. You're going through something, but David knew that even though he felt forgotten, he was not forgotten. He said, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He was rejoicing over his future salvation. That's what it looks like to wait on the Lord. When you're sure you're going through something hard, sure you're going through something that seems like there will be no peace, but you still have that joy in your heart, that peace in your heart and in your life when it seems like there is no way. It seems like there is no peace. But God is still there. He's still walking with you. And he still loves you. And he still cares for you. And he realizes that you're going through something. But he sees you right where you're at. He sees you right where you are. No matter how small you may think that you are, he sees you. And you have not been forgotten. Are you trusting in his mercy? Is your heart rejoicing in your future salvation just as David's? Have you been waiting? It seems like 15 years you continue to fight, even though it seems like you've been forgotten. And he's just so discouraged. You see, it seems like it says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He's saying, just kill me. If I'm not going to be delivered, just kill me. He's saying this life that I've been living, it's hard. I've been discouraged and I've been fighting. But then he says, but I've trusted in thy mercy. He knew that it wasn't the end. He knew that this darkness that he was in was not the end. Whatever you're going through this morning, it's not the end. There is future salvation when you wait on the Lord. He doesn't say he might strengthen our hearts. He says he shall strengthen thy heart. He shall renew thy strength. There's not a might in that. There's not a maybe in that. He shall renew your strength when you wait on the Lord. Many of us were questioning God. We're saying, well, I've heard it preached my whole life, and it seems like there is no answers. It seems like there is no peace. But he says, wait on him. Wait on the Lord. Have that patience. And patience doesn't mean you just sit there and you don't cry out to God, but it's the exact opposite. When you're waiting on God, you're crying out to Him. You're trusting in Him. You're giving it all to Him. You see, when people sometimes you just go to Him, you don't come boldly, you just go, and you're not truly trusting Him. You're not truly crying out to God. Many of us, we think when we pray, we've got to sound all philosophical, and we've got to sound real good, real nice, but what God wants, He wants you to come with all of your heart. He wants you to cry out to Him. I believe it's okay to tell God how you feel. Many people, they come and they don't tell God how they feel. They don't say, Lord, I'm angry, I'm mad, I'm upset. They come and they just sit there and they try to make all these fancy words and make it sound good because it is the God of the universe. But guess what? It's not by our righteousness that we come to Him anyway. If it was, then sure, maybe we have to muster up some good fancy words. But because of Jesus, because that He died on the cross and that He was the intercessor before us, the mediator between us and God, guess what? We can go boldly before the throne of grace. We don't have to come and just with a timid spirit and just having all these fancy words because it's not our righteousness. When you come in the name of Jesus, you can come boldly. You can cry out to God while you wait, while you're waiting on Him. Cry out to God. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. Are you waiting on Him this morning, or are you trying to get it all done by yourself? You're trying to, you're wanting all the control. You're trying to have all the control that you can have. That's not what it is to wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord, it means to give it to Him. Give everything how you feel. You feel sorry. You feel mad. You feel disgusted. It doesn't matter to God how you feel. When you come and you bring it to Him, that's how He wants you. What He wants you to do. He wants you to bring it all to Him. He knows your thoughts anyway, so why not just bring it to Him? It's not a question of Him how you feel. It's not a question about how you think. He wants you to bring your whole heart to Him, not just those fancy words. He wants to bring you to bring your whole heart. Cry out to God while you wait. David did the right thing by turning to God and not away from Him in the stress and the anxiety and depression that he was dealing with. Many of us, when hard times come, what do? We turn to the devices of this world. We turn to ourselves. We think, well, the Lord's not satisfied me yet. The Lord's not came and brought me out of this mess yet. So then you turn to the world. That's not how you wait on the Lord. When you're waiting on the Lord, you don't turn to the world. But when you're waiting on the Lord, you're trusting in Him and Him alone. Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. And once again, that's David speaking. He's saying, my soul, wait thou only upon God. You see, David knew that he couldn't trust the world. He couldn't trust the pleasures of this world to fulfill him. He couldn't trust alcohol. He couldn't trust drugs. He couldn't trust any of those things. What he waited on, it was only upon God. It wasn't on the devices of this world. He wasn't waiting on himself to finally make the right decision and change everything. That's not what he was doing. He waited only upon God. Maybe you're here this morning and you stopped waiting on God and you decided to take it in and just do it yourself. You decided, I'm just going to go along with the world. God hasn't satisfied me. I'm just going to go ahead and get along with everybody else, do what everybody else is doing. Sure, they look happy. They look pleasurable. They seem like they've got it all together. But that's not what God has us do. He says, wait thou only upon God. Don't go to the devices of this world. Don't go to pornography, whatever addiction that it is in your life. I'm telling you, lay it down. Lay it down at His feet. I'm telling you, when you're waiting only upon God, you're not trusting the devices of this world. Lay it down at His feet. Get rid of those addictions. When you're doing that, you're not waiting on God, and your strength will not be renewed. That's what it says. When you're waiting only upon God, you can't be waiting and doing the things of the world and say you're waiting on God. That's not how it works. You must lay those things aside and wait only upon God. Trust in Him, and He shall renew thy strength. He shall strengthen thine heart. when you wait upon God. Are you waiting on the Lord this morning? Have you got ahead of yourself and you decided, I'm just going to go ahead and get along with the world and do everything they're doing? That's not the answer this morning. You see, what happens when you trust in God? 2 Samuel 22:7 says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears." You see, after the fighting, David realized that God has truly not forgot him. And God has heard his prayers and his cry. Keep praying, because God is listening and He does care for His children. You see, David, he went from thinking that he was forgotten to realize that God has not forgotten him at all, and that God has heard his cry. And when we wait on the Lord, He's going to hear your cry and He's going to answer your cry. He's going to be there. He's going to renew your strength. Wait upon the Lord. And the second thing this morning, there is a reason for your fighting, so keep waiting on God. There is a reason for your fighting, so keep on waiting on God. 2 Samuel 3:1 says, "Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker." I'm sure David wasn't ready to be king at 15 years old when he was first anointed to be king. I'm sure he wanted to be. I'm sure as soon as Samuel came and said, "I'm anointing you by the Holy Spirit, by the anointing oil," he's saying that you're going to be king. I'm sure he wanted to be king right then. He wanted to get out of the field that he was working in, I'm sure, because who wouldn't? But guess what? God said you have to wait 15 more years. So that's what he had to do. But through the hardship and trusting in God to fight for Him, David became a great king 15 years later. If you read through, he's remembered throughout this whole book. In the New Testament, they're still talking about him. Today, we're still talking about him because he's a great king, because God prepared him. Because when he was 15 years old, he didn't jump right into being king. But God, through all the fighting, it says there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger. Through all the fighting, David got stronger and he was prepared to be king. You see, even in the field, when he was a shepherd, God was preparing him to be king. God knew exactly who it was that was going to be king. He knew exactly what it would take to be king. And he got him through it all, and guess what? He became a great king. There is a reason for your time, for your fighting. So keep waiting on the Lord. The fighting and the waiting make David ready for his blessings and ready to be king. You see, James 1, 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Keep waiting on the Lord. He has a plan for you. My brethren, count it all joy. How can we count it all joy when we're falling into all these things and it seems like there's no peace? How can we count it all joy when we're going through so many battles and the fighting days have not ended? How can we count it all joy? It's because God's got a plan for you. It may seem like it ain't going to make sense to you. It's not going to. Because why? Because God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He knows way more than we do. We may act like we know it all, but we don't know it all. God really does know it all. So wait on God. Trust in Him. Keep on waiting. He knows why you're going through this. He knows why it seems like there's been no peace. Trust in Him this morning. You may not understand, but keep on waiting upon the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Trust in God's perfect timing. Maybe you're not getting God's timing. You've got an unanswered prayer and you're saying, "Why, Lord? Why is it taking so long?" One of the examples that always sticks to my mind about waiting, Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents. Many people don't put those two together. They usually think of Sarah and Abraham. But Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were in the same boat. You see, they were old when the angel of God told them that they would have a son. But John the Baptist was born right on time. He most likely couldn't have been the forerunner for Christ if he was born earlier in his parents' timing. You see, if he would have been born when they were young, then guess what? It would have been, I don't know how many years, I didn't do the math, but it would have been a long time before Jesus was born. And the people, they wouldn't have been made ready at the perfect time when God said, hey, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be the forerunner for the Savior of the world. You see, it is worth it to wait on the Lord. I mean, what a blessing it was to Zechariah and Elizabeth to have John the Baptist as their child. I mean, how great that it is to wait on the Lord. There is a reason for waiting. So don't give up on God. And then my third and final point this morning, joy will come when we wait on the Lord. If you will, turn with me to Psalms chapter 40 this morning. Psalms chapter 40. We'll read the whole chapter and then I'll come to a close. Psalms chapter 40. Joy will come when we wait on the Lord. Psalms chapter 40. And it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You see, David went to thinking that he was forgotten, to realizing that the thoughts towards him, they can't be numbered. I mean, it's a complete opposite spectrum, and it might be the same way for you right now. You may be at rock bottom right now, feeling like you're forgotten, but it is worth it to wait on God. It is worth it to wait on God. Joy will come. He says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. When it seems like he was rock bottom, guess what happened? He brought him up out of that miry clay. You're struggling this morning, and it seems like you're trying to climb out of that miry clay, and no matter what you do, you can't get out of it. God can reach in and pull you out of it at any time. So keep on waiting on the Lord. Keep trusting in Him today. There's been times in my life where it seems like I was in the miry clay. I'll be honest with you. There was times in my life where it seems like I was going to quit preaching. I was going to quit living for God. It was hard, and it just seemed like it wasn't paying off. But then, just as our song, He rescued me right on time. He pulled me out of the miry clay. He rescued me. And maybe you guys have a similar testimony. It seems like you're going to quit on God, and He rescued you. He brought you up out of the miry clay. Praise the Lord for that His thoughts towards us, they can't be numbered. His thoughts that He has towards us, they can't be numbered. Praise the Lord. That's something to praise God for if there's nothing else to praise Him for. He thinks about us as small as we are. And reading on, before I get sidetracked, verses 6 through the rest of the chapter, it says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. You see, when he was waiting on the Lord, he stayed obedient and faithful while he waited. Many people today, when they're waiting and it seems like nothing's happening, they quit on God. They quit going to church. They quit serving him. They just completely give up on God. But you see, David, how he waited on the Lord, he didn't quit. But because he was waiting on God and God alone, he continued to do his will. He stayed obedient and he stayed faithful to God. That's how you wait on the Lord. And reading on to the end of the chapter, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. They were laughing at him. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. He said in verse 12, he was talking about his evils. Now they have cast and compassed him about. And he said, they are more than the hairs of my head. Well, guess what? Even when the evils are more than the hairs of your head, God's thoughts are more than that. God, it seems like for some of us, the hairs on our head, we can't number them, but God can number them. And for some of us, maybe it's just one or two. But the point is, he can number even the fullest head of hair, and he still realizes, David's saying, more than the hairs of my head. I don't know if he was a hairy man. He probably was. But more than the hairs of mine head, the enemies have compassed me. But guess what? The thoughts that you have towards me, they're more than that. They're more than can be numbered. When it seems like your enemies can't be numbered, guess what? God's thoughts towards you, they can't be numbered either. They're more than those, and more than the evils that are compassing you about. And then, reading on in verse 16, it says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. That's just to stop and praise the Lord, that he thinks upon me. As small as I am, he says, I am poor and needy. I feel poor and needy most of the time, to be honest with you. I feel like I need this and I need that. I have to have everything just right. And she can testify about that, that I have to have everything just right, just in order. So can my parents back there. They know how I am. But as poor and needy as I am, as needy as I am, the Lord is still my helper. He still is my deliverer, it says. Make no tarrying, oh my God. He's my help and my deliverer. He's your help and your deliverer today. I'm so glad that I can come boldly before the throne of grace. As small as I am, just as I said earlier, if it was by my righteousness, I couldn't come to him at all. All the fancy words I could come up with, it wouldn't matter. He wouldn't listen to me. Because my righteousness is as what? It's as filthy rags. That's what, I can't remember where it is, but in the Bible it says that. My righteousness is as filthy rags. But guess what? He accounted me unto righteousness. Why? Because of Jesus, because of his blood, because of him, because he's our mediator. He wasn't just our mediator for salvation. He's still our mediator today. He's still making intercession with the Father day by day for each one of us that have the blood of Jesus applied. If you wait on him today, it's worth it to wait on the Lord. And as they come, and actually I won't ask for a song this morning. I'll just have you all stand this morning and bow your heads. Will you stand and bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? Do you have a need this morning? Isaiah 40 and 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." Keep waiting on God. Don't give up on Him. His timing is perfect. You may be asking God, "It's been so long since I've had peace. I've been praying for this for so many years, and it seems like I don't have an answer." Maybe the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is just no. Do you need clarity this morning about what it is? And there's a reason for the fight. There's a reason that you're dealing with what you're dealing with. God knows. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Even when it doesn't make sense, He knows exactly what you're dealing with. He knows the answer this morning. Will you come and seek out what that answer is this morning? Will you come and trust in Him and trust in Him alone? David said, "I trust only on God. I wait only upon God." Are you trusting the world's devices this morning? You stopped waiting on God a long time ago, and you decided to take it all upon yourself, and you decided, "I'm going to go and do whatever I want to because I think that's going to satisfy me. That's going to give me peace." It's not going to give you peace this morning. Whatever you've replaced with waiting on the Lord, you started waiting on other things. You started wanting that instant gratification, that instant satisfying that you need, that you wanted. That's not what you need this morning. What you need is God. What you need is to be close to Him. And we can't be close to Him if we're still holding on to those things in our life. Get rid of all those things that you've replaced for God. Get rid of it. Come to Him this morning. Are you waiting only upon the Lord? Will you come this morning if you have a need? And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I just want you to sit there and think. Examine your life. Is there something you need to pray about? Is there something you need to come boldly before the throne of grace? I won't think any less of you for coming. I'll probably think more of you because you ain't letting pride hinder you. But come and bring it to God. Trust in Him today. And as we pray this morning, will you come? Lord, I thank you and I love you so much for all that you've done, God. Lord, just please bless this congregation, Lord. Bless each one. You know the need of each one, God. You know the heart of each one, God. And God, I ask, Lord, whoever it is that's here this morning, that's been fighting, God, Lord, there's no peace, there's no joy in their life. It seems like all they can do is complain, God. Lord, just please bring peace in their life, God. Lord, the saying is true that people that are hurt usually are the ones that hurt people, God. Those that are hurt this morning, God, please bring peace into their life, God. Lord, just please bring joy into their life that only you can give, God. Lord, just please bring them to you this morning. And Lord, Lord, if they're still dealing with it, Lord, on their way home, so I ask you to continue to bring this message to mind, Lord, that they can wait upon you, God, and it's worth it to wait on you, God. And we can come boldly before the throne of grace because of Jesus. And I'm just so thankful for that this morning. Thank you, Lord, for making intercession for me daily, God. Lord, I'm just so glad that I can pray and you can listen. Lord, you listen to our cries. Lord, just please touch and have your way. Be with these people as they leave this morning. God, I thank you and I love you. And amen. Amen. And I'll have whoever it is who wants to close the service.